Good evening, everybody from Gustavus City Hall. Welcome to our February work session in advance of the next meeting's general meeting. We have a reasonably short agenda at this point, so we should be able to get through it fairly quickly. But of course, if anybody wants to bring anything up, that's what a work session is for. So council members, that is. I guess we should start as usual by reading our vision statement. And Kyle, would you like to read that off the wall? I mean, Brian, I just said Kyle. Sorry, I just said Kyle and I'm looking at Brian here. So, Brian.
I'll be happy to. I forgot my glasses. So my
I can do it. I got mine on. I can do it. We envision a distinctive community that prospers while and by protecting its natural resources, with a sustainable economy and infrastructure that assures public health and safety while promoting personal development and initiative, and where all members take social responsibility and actively participate in decision-making affecting growth, development, regulation, and enforcement, and in which people retain a closeness with and caring for each other individually and collectively while working together to accomplish community goals and preserve community traditions. So that's what we're all about. Looking at the at our draft agenda, we'll just go through this, and I didn't really have anything extra to discuss at the end of it, so it's pretty much just going through the agenda plus anything that the rest of you guys may want to bring up. We'll have our usual approval of the minutes. I didn't see any issues with minutes, but please do review them and so you can be prepared to vote to approve them or to correct them if needed. We'll have reports from the Gustavus Visitors Association with their business plan and their budget request for this year. Leah's on. Leah, I hope that as part of that, you might be able to give us some forward look as to how the reservations look for this season and some indication of whether we're going to have a good solid year or a challenging one. So if you got any feedback for that, Leah, when you speak to us next Monday, I'd love to hear that. We'll have a report from Paul on the DRC. The city treasurer will have monthly financials, and the city administrator will have a work session. Well, we'll have a general meeting report. She won't be offering a work session report at this time. She's home ill, but tuning in, I think. The first thing is on the consent agenda, we've got the certificate of records destruction, which is fairly routine, dealing with some old grant applications, mostly stuff that we didn't get, and getting rid of those records. And then we'll have the marine facilities coordinator position description for approval. And we, because we have made updates and changes, edits to that position description, our policy is to, and actually our ordinance, I believe, says that we bring that back to the council for approval. So that's item 7. And I don't know how many of you looked through this. They're not big changes. They mostly reflect Ben's experience on the job. And he worked with Kathy to describe a few of the tasks and things a little better. It's essentially the the work that Ben did, but describe maybe a little more completely. So do any of you have any questions about this, or do you want to go through it or read through it as a group here so you can feel good about whether to approve it or whether you wish to make some suggestion to make it better? If you've got something in mind for it, please raise your hand. No, almost everybody is on Zoom here. Just Brian and I here are in City Hall, plus Karen and Ben Sadler. Okay, does everybody feel pretty good about this? If you have any questions about it, you can contact either Kathy or me about it. You can email questions to Kathy if she's not in the back in the office yet. Okay. And so that'll be on the consent agenda for approval. And once it's approved, we'll put it out on the street for hope to attract some applicants for this really important position. The next item is item 8, an NCO. You click on that, it has three items on it. And actually what this is doing is just, this is more of Ben's good work. He closing out some of the old projects where we have money left over, that we appropriate money for these projects, and often we put a little extra in to make sure that we've got enough to cover the project, and then do our best to come in under that budget. And these are balances that were remaining in the pre-processing storage facility and the hazardous waste facility installation at the DRC, $10,697 for the first one, $99.30 for the second one. And so it takes the money back out of those project lines, closes them out, and puts it back into the capital improvement long-term savings. So that's what that one's all about. And that's an introduction. Yeah, this introduces it and schedules it for public hearing at the March meeting. And so it will be subject to public hearing at that time, but pretty routine. Okay, the next one, we then go to ordinance for public hearing. And last month, we introduced the capital budget funding set up for the library bike shed project and scheduled it for public hearing at the February meeting. So if you click on that one, you'll see that we are at 40,000 to be in the account just to make sure we've got enough to cover construction costs. When we put it out to bid, we're uncertain as to, of course, what the bids will be, and also some project management costs, as we have John Barry on contract to manage the project for us. So that's $40,000 we're asking to approve for that, and then whatever's left, if we undershoot that budget, we can put it back into the capital savings account as we did with those other ones. So any questions on that? I know that the public had some questions about this project, and we do have in the packet the design of the bike shelter, so you can actually see what it is. And we should note that this actually is kind of a multi-purpose facility. It's going to be erected where we are within reach of the Wi-Fi system from the library. So people, and there will be a table and some benches or chairs in there, so people can sit in there if they want to use the library Wi-Fi from outside, particularly during off hours, and they won't have to crowd into that snow shed shelter on the back door of the library, where it makes for a congested situation, and not good for exiting out of the library in an emergency. So, and the librarians have, we had a suggestion from a member of the public, and the librarians liked it, that we consider a location different than is called for in the plan. There on the screen you can see the back door entry of the library. Rather than what was my original idea for this was to put it over next to the septic tank area to the left of the kiosk, and by extending the parking pad there slightly. That was our original location, and that's what we called out in the plan and in the approval by the fire marshal. But the librarians have in mind maybe a different location on the opposite side, closer to the school, which would make it more convenient for the kids to park their bikes in there just when they come to school, whether they're going to the library or not. And so that would add some function to that. Project manager John Berry, again on this one, and I are going to take a look at that site with the librarians tomorrow. And so we may actually construct it on the east side of the parking lot rather than the west side. I'm not exactly sure where they have in mind. But so are there any questions about this one? If so, raise your hands. Okay, it looks like Janine, go ahead, please.
Yeah, hey, Mike, can you just go over with us where the source of that funding was that is covering this project?
Certainly, the funding is just coming out of our own capital savings. So it's an internal project, internally funded project.
Thanks.
Okay, and looks like Shelley would like to speak up or ask a question. Shelley?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was wondering about, it's items number 8 and 9, the capital improvement projects, and it looks like there's a difference in the balance of the AMLIP accounts. I'm sorry, I'm sort of looking at my notes. One of them has 839203, and then I think it's item number 9 has 817776. I was wondering why there was an inconsistency in the balance of the CIP long-term AMLIP account.
Fortunately, our able treasurer is here to answer that, because I didn't actually follow you entirely. So, Ben, can you help her out with that?
Yeah. So, Shelley, what happened is when I created the first one, between creating the first NCO and creating the second NCO, I moved money from the AMLIP account. And so I put money back in. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I did one of those two things. I either moved money out or I put money in. And so that's why they're different. But at the general meeting, I will have updated those numbers so that the actual number in our account at the date of the meeting will be the number on those NCOs. So I apologize. Kathy brought that to my attention. I didn't notice it when I put them into the packet.
Okay, thank you, Ben.
If I could, I'd like to, yeah, just out of curiosity, sorry, breaking the formal order there, but out of curiosity, at the Alaska Municipal League conference we went to, one of the last meetings, the morning we took off, was about the Alaska Municipal League investment pool, the AMLIP. So am I correct in understanding that there's some natural fluctuation in this number regardless, because it's in an investment account as well?
That's correct.
Okay.
That could be that we received interest payments. Like I said, I can't remember how I moved the money around, but it could be that we received an interest payment when I reconciled the account, and that changed the figure. And so I put the new figure on. So those numbers are always in flux every month.
Perfect. Thanks. Just wanted to make sure I had understood that.
But as I understand it, we get a fairly steady interest rate on those accounts. It's not subject to the volatility of the market so much. So, and the investment account or the AMLIP investment account is very conservatively managed. And the interest that we get on it is somewhat low, but the risk is extremely low. So it's not very volatile. And we do get some interest over time. So
it's a good market for fixed income investments right now with interest rates still rising. So
yeah, exactly.
Let's get all the interest we can on that while the rates are good.
Good point. Okay. Anything else on that? I guess we were on the library bike shed project NCO. Any other questions on that? Okay, Kyle. Looks like Kyle's got something.
No question, just a comment. I just am I'm a fan of the listening to people's opinion and the idea to move the location. I think it's better served to be in the location that we decided. So I consider that a win and a good thing.
Okay, if I interpreted that correctly, you like the idea of moving it closer to the school, right?
Yes, I do. I'm in favor of that.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. So we can do that. And in fact, I think I can probably do it without even going back to the fire marshals thing. It doesn't really affect their approval of the structure. So, okay. Back up on this one. Okay, the item 10 will have the award of the gravel pit contracts. And this is something we do every year, if some of you are familiar with it. The way we operate the gravel pit is that we essentially kind of lease out the three ponds to different contractors. And they purchase, they just tell us at this time of year how much gravel they think they will want to take out of it. And we issue them a contract that is an operating agreement for how they operate there and lets them buy that amount of gravel. And so that's, and then they draw against that throughout the year. And usually there's plenty in the award to cover their needs. So, but we don't, if I'm correct, Ben, we don't have actual requests in yet. That's out for the public. I mean, that's out for their request.
We've sent out the solicitation and I emailed the previous companies who have had contracts with us in the past. Two of those companies have returned their requests and one of them has not. And we haven't received anything from anyone other than from those companies.
Okay, good. So the way we operate the gravel pit is that we essentially lease out the three ponds to different contractors. And
sounds like we've got
and they purchase there, they just tell us at this time of the year how much due to gravel our, they think they will want to take out of it, and we issue them a contract that is an operating agreement.
Okay, we're going to try to fix this there,
and let's them buy program. that amount of might be our YouTube gravel and
situation.
So that. Okay, now it looks like we're back to normal here. So sorry for that disruption, everybody. Okay, so so we'll have by Wednesday we should have those You know, all three, or well, all of the app or the requests that we're likely to receive. It's probably still likely to be three, I would think. But
yeah, I believe that I talked to the other contractor before I sent out the solicitation, and I'm sure that he plans on
good
on being part of it.
Okay, so we'll have those available for approval at the next meeting. Okay. Item 11, we've got a change of strategy on this. Here's what happened. Every year for the last several years, we have made a cost of living adjustment for pay rates on city employees, according to the Anchorage CPI. And our astute treasurer had picked up that this was an item on the list that had to be done around this time of year. And he pulled up the resolution that we've used for the last several years and updated it with the cost of living increase of the CPI from Anchorage of 5.4% and was ready to roll with it. And then our clerk astutely noticed that there was a reference in this to a policy and procedure that we had actually repealed. And so we were going to have to do something with this. And so what I've decided that I want to do, unless the rest of you have some other idea on this, is to take this resolution off of the agenda for this month. There's nothing urgent that says we have to do this particular thing this month. And I am writing a new resolution and an accompanying policy and procedure to call out that the mayor will, at the time of proposing the annual operating budget, will review the salary and wage rates for all of our employees, consider the cost of living increase via the, or as informed by the Anchorage Consumer Price Index, consider other market factors, consider individual employees, whether they have, say, achieved some new certification that or other training or whatever that enhances their productivity for the city, and also the projected or anticipated revenue and expense picture for the city to determine whether pay increases can be funded. And so, and then would make recommendations at the time that the council is doing the operating budget for the year, and the decision on things like COLA, a COLA increase would be integrated into the operating budget development and would be documented in the narrative that goes with that. So I have already written the resolution part today. I'll write the policy procedure that goes with it and send it out to the council. But I would like you to look it over this next month. I don't want to put it on the agenda for next Monday night. I'd like you all to think carefully about it, make sure that we're doing the right thing and we've got it properly worded and I haven't missed something. It's quite likely that some of you will have some improvements for it. So then I would put it back on the agenda for March. So is that okay with everybody? You have any? That sound like a good plan, I hope.
Yes.
Jump in here and say that.
That's a good plan. I like that.
I'm just looking at the consumer price index and the chart over the last 3 years now. I'll be interested to look at this after the numbers for March have been published, just because we're on a pretty sharp downtrend. So kind of be interesting to see how that moves. And yeah. It definitely makes sense to have clear policies and procedures in place to make sure we have the money to do it before we just do it.
Yeah. I should note that we increased last year, we did a COLA increase of 4.9%, and that was based on the previous calendar year. So we would probably base this one on the calendar year 22. But the any cost of living allowance increase that we decide is appropriate would actually go into effect with the new fiscal year in July. So there's a little bit of a gap there, but the intent is to keep our employees' compensation from being degraded by inflation and make sure that they're being paid fairly and competitively. And those goals are all in the resolution as I've written it. So, but you know, take a look at it when I send it out and see if you've got any other suggestions. I did see a couple other thumbs up and so forth. So thanks. We'll proceed with that plan. Okay, then that brings us to the last item is a resolution supporting the repair and upkeep of the Good River Bridge. And this is one that we wrote for the purposes of supporting our grant requests for that bridge. We've aimed it particularly at the state DOT as the first reviewers of our grant application. We're hoping to get enough money to fix all of the deficiencies in the structure. They're mostly carpentry items, rotted posts here or there for the guardrail and that sort of stuff. And then also fixing the embankment that has been slowly being undercut at the northwest corner of the bridge. So we're hoping to get grant funding for that because we're looking at $200,000 or $300,000. And if the state, if we are successful by working through DOT, their view of the project was a little more expensive than the suggestions from our design engineers, PND engineering. They have their different processes for estimating and so forth. And there's sometimes when the state does something, it's more expensive. But they would take over the project for us. So we wouldn't actually have to even process the grant. They would do it. They would complete the design, the construction documents, put it out to bid, manage the project, and we will pay a match of, and the basic match is normally 9.03%, but we're going to offer up 10.03% of the project to raise our probability of being successful in the scoring. Due to the analysis of our city administrator, Kathy Leary, and in working with the grant agencies and looking at the scoring, they felt that offering up that extra 1% of match was a useful strategy. At any rate, if the state does this, we get the project done at a lot less than if we have to do it entirely ourselves, and we don't have to manage it. So a lot of pluses with that. And most important, we should get a bridge that'll last for another 40 years, which is kind of my goal here. Any questions on that, council members? Looks like Kathy sent something here. Maybe. Yeah, we have, by the way, we've had in working with the state, and our project manager, John Berry, we challenged some aspects in their design or in their project cost estimate. We felt they had way too much riprap that they were including in the cost of the project. We got that down to what we think is more reasonable, and that reduced the cost of the project. We're doing whatever we can to make sure that we get a project that is fit for purpose, does all the stuff that is needed to maintain the bridge, but doesn't go overboard on with expensive stuff that we don't want to pay even 10% of. So, okay, Tanya, you have a comment on this?
Yeah, I fully support this. I was just going to comment in the second, whereas it says mental health trust land, and I'm not sure there is mental health trust land there anymore. But I would also point out that it's also a gateway to Point Gustavus and Glacier Bay National Park. A lot of people, most people that walk around the point start past the Good River Bridge. So just a couple of clarifications there.
Exactly. I believe the Mental Health Trust land still has property on the east side of Dickey Drive, down near the end of Dickey Drive. The land next to the immediately next to the river was purchased by TNC, but there is still a section of Mental Health Trust land between the TNC property along the river and Dickey Drive. That's my recollection, so that's why we put that in. And yes, that is an important route for those of us who walking around the point. That was one thing that I had in mind in mentioning agencies, but I can be more specific and add that. Sounds good. Okay, Kathy's got something to say here.
Hi, can you hear me?
We can. You're sounding okay.
Okay. This evening. Okay. So just to answer Tanya's question, I asked that and I've contacted the Lands Trust office, and because I thought if they did have land there, it would be good to get a letter of support from them because they're a big organization in the state. And so they agreed that they do and that they would give us one. I just, I'm in the process of sending them some information and some a sample letter. So, I mean, I don't know how much weight they'd have, but I thought they'd be good to put a letter of support in from. But if you say it's also access to the park, I'd be interested to talk to you a little more about that, to see if, you know, if the access is for, like, do a lot of tourists use it? You know, I mean, things of that nature. So if you don't mind, maybe I can call you tomorrow or something and ask a little bit more about it.
Sure, that sounds great.
Okay, thanks, Tanya.
Yeah, off the end of Good River Road too, a lot of us have walked across to one way or the other between there and Cooper's Notch across the Dude Creek Critical Habitat area. So. This bridge is critical for access to a lot of territory out there. It's a lot of wild territory and it's good recreational country. So we're trying to indicate the importance of this, not just for Gustavus residents, but for visitors and for other agencies that manage those lands out there. So including the Dude Creek Critical Habitat area managed by Fish and Game. Okay, so we'll have that on the agenda to approve. And I think that is it for our agenda. I would mention with regard to the bridges and so forth related to that, the state DOT bridge inspectors were out today. I met them at the airport and got them to the two bridges they wanted to inspect, which were the Dickey Drive Bridge and the new Grandpa's Farm Road Bridge. Which they hadn't inspected before, so they were out to do that today. We'll get their reports on those inspections soon. Okay, do any of you have anything else you'd like to bring up that we'd like to discuss? Any ideas or things? We got some time here if you want. Okay, I see. Okay, Tanya's hands up.
Yeah, I have a couple things. You may have seen in your inbox or on email that we are having an event on Friday at 7 o'clock at the Gustavus Community Center. And Claire Geldof with a public health nurse with the state is going to give a presentation on available resources for health and social needs in Gustavus and help people figure out how to deal with problems of mental health, domestic violence, sexual assault, substance abuse, and other issues. And we're hoping that it'll be a community discussion as well. As I mentioned recently that, you know, this has been an ongoing effort to try and get more services offered here in Gustavus, and that the city was asked to get involved about a year and a half ago, particularly in terms of sexual assault of young people in this town. And so this is our first event, and we're hoping to get input from city members and city leaders about what we should do next, you know, what other types of experts we can bring over and give presentations and more discussion on how to basically make Gustavus a more socially healthy and safe place to raise our kids. So I hope that you guys can all make it. I think it'll be really good for us as city council and as much as city staff is available as well to come to this and lend an ear and ask questions and learn what resources are available, how we can tap into those better, and also what the people of Gustavus need in terms of these services. Any questions on that? Okay, my next topic, okay. I'm just gonna,
I just wanted to say, let me reinforce your request for council members to attend that. I put it on my calendar, and I think this is a pretty important thing for us to show up for and get some feedback. It's an opportunity for us to kind of measure the level of concern about some of these things in the community and to understand better what role the city might play to help make things easier in the community with regard to those issues. So I would encourage everybody who's here in town to please show up. Tanya, did you have another item too?
Yeah, unrelated topic. I also brought up a while ago, I was surprised that city staff didn't have Martin Luther King Jr. Day off in January. And so I just did a little research on the number of holidays that our staff has here, which is 9 days per year, 9 holidays. And then federal holidays, there are 11, and state holidays, there are 11. And so I just wanted to put out feelers with the council as to whether it's worth pursuing making Martin Luther King Jr. Day a holiday for city staff. And if there is interest, I'm happy to work with our staff to draft up. I think it's just a change in policy and procedures or whatever's necessary to do so. What do you guys think?
I don't think that's a bad idea at all. I guess I'm not raising my hand. I see a bunch of people with their hands up, so I hope I'm not jumping in front of everybody. But I support that. I do want to clarify, you're talking the state holidays are 11, and those are the same 11 holidays as the federal holidays, or have I misunderstood?
They are not the same. The state has some specific state holidays, Seward's Day, Alaska Day. The feds have Juneteenth, which is a relatively new holiday, as well as Columbus Day, otherwise known as Indigenous Peoples Day. There are, you know, there's always a possibility of doing more than one holiday too to bring city up to 11. But I feel like Martin Luther King Jr. Day is a really good one to start with. But I am also open to other ideas, and any staff out there, I'm open to your input too. I just think Martin Luther King Jr. Day is an important one, and it's also kind of a timing wise, you know, in January, mid-January, when people kind of need a break. So, but open to ideas.
Mayor okay. Taylor?
I could comment one thing on that. The approach to that would be to propose an amendment to the city benefits policy, which lists the holidays. I think the city started out with 8 holidays and added maybe President's Day more recently. Early on, I think the city tried to distribute holidays kind of through the year, and does have, you know, did some things like making the Friday after Thanksgiving a holiday just to make for a longer weekend there. So that's kind of the history of the holidays. Of course, if we add a holiday, there's a cost to that. Not extra budget, but just an opportunity cost in that the employees aren't on the job on that day providing service. So those are the trade-offs. And if some council members want to work on this, give it some thought, then I'll be happy to put on the agenda any proposal that you have for discussion. Looks like our clerk has a comment on this.
So actually the days, the holidays are in ordinance. So the process would be that we would need to change that in ordinance first and then change the policy through resolution after that.
Well, that's a great clarification. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'd forgotten they were also in ordinance. So, the ordinance is what our law locally is, and the policy and procedure is essentially how we operate it. So, but the benefits policy and procedure is what employees generally refer to determine what the benefits are. It's written more easily. Okay, any other? I thought I had another hand up. Maybe somebody wanted to discuss something. Madam Clerk, did you have anything you wanted to share or something? Are they picking you up on the microphone there? I'm not sure.
I guess just a reminder to all the council members that there's a budget work session on the 27th at 6 p.m.
Okay. Okay, have I missed anybody who's got something they want to bring up? If not, we'll... all good for tonight. Thank you all for tuning in and participating, and we'll look forward to seeing you Monday night, and we'll monitor the COVID outbreak situation and let you know whether it looks like it would be nice to have you back in City Hall. It's always good to have everybody in City Hall when we can, but given the recent outbreak of Omicron and its rapid spreading tendency, we thought tonight it would be perfectly good to just do it like we have here via Zoom, but we'll take a new look at it Monday. And in the meantime, we're recommending that masking for people coming into City Hall. We're not going to make it mandatory, but we think probably most people will gladly comply, and I think they're doing the same thing at the library. So I hope everybody will take extra care this week. We don't need to spread this around any more than it is. And we hope everybody will be able to return to good health on short order. So, okay, well, thanks a lot. We'll call it an evening then. Thanks again for tuning in. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.